Thank you for joining us for another lesson from God's Word. The West Huntsville Church of Christ at Providence is located at 1519 Old Monrovia Road, Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. Anytime you're in the Huntsville area, we hope you'll stop in and be part of our worship. Sunday morning worship is at 9 o'clock, with Bible class immediately following. Sunday evening worship is at 5. Midweek Bible study is held Wednesdays at 7.
The scripture reading this morning will be taken from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Again, 1 Peter 1, 3 through 9. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to his abundant mercy, has begotten us again to the living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not been seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Receive the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Please be seated.
Good morning. If you would, open your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We'll be there in a moment. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Really need a copy of your Bible this morning. We're going to go through this passage. And as a preacher that I'm very fond of likes to say, if you'd like an outline of today's sermon, you may have one by leaving this open on your lap. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'd like to thank the elders and Glenn and Paul for allowing me the opportunity to speak to you. It's very much a privilege to do so. I'd like to talk to you this morning about looking at what you can't see. I know that sounds like a contradiction in terms, looking at what you can't see. But what I hope that we'll find this morning from the Word of God is that looking at what you can't see is the key to overcoming the trials and the tribulations that we face in our lives. We face many trials. We face many heartaches in this life. And we want to look at this morning, how do you not lose heart through your trials and your tribulations? We're going to look at the life of Paul and all of the hardships and struggles that he went through, and try to learn, what did Paul know? What did Paul understand from the Lord that helped him not to lose heart in his struggles? And so we'll find that there's tremendous power and tremendous help that's available to us, that we could say, it is well with my soul, even when the things around us seem to be falling apart and life gets so difficult and so hard. And so let's begin reading our passage, 2 Corinthians 4. Let's start in verse 5. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shone in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. Now look at verse 8 and look at the things that Paul has gone through in his life. He says, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death works in us, but life in you. But having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sake, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. Paul and Timothy, who is with Paul as he writes, they had such difficulties in their lives, such sufferings that they faced in their lives as they were trying to fulfill their ministry. You look again at verse 8, and Paul says that we are afflicted in every way. To be afflicted, this is an interesting word. It's the idea of being hard-pressed, as some versions put it. It's the idea of being sort of hemmed in and caught between rock ledges, and you look around and you don't see any way out of your problems, and it feels like the walls are closing in on you. That's the idea behind afflicted or hard-pressed in this passage. Have you ever felt like that? That because of circumstances or something in your life that you just feel trapped and you feel like the walls are closing in on you? Paul says we feel like that. We're afflicted in every way, but we're not crushed. Yes, the walls are closing in, but we're not crushed. He says at the end of verse 8 that we're perplexed. I think that if I were in Paul's shoes, this might have been the thing that I would struggle with the most, because you look at Paul and he's trying to do the Lord's work. He's trying to spread the Lord's message. And maybe if I were him, I would think, well, Lord, why aren't you protecting me from these things? Lord, why are you allowing these terrible things to happen to me? And it leaves us perplexed or feeling like we don't know which way to go. And we feel like that in our lives sometimes too. Paul says, yes, we're perplexed, but we're not despairing. He goes on to say that in verse 10 and 11, that he's constantly delivered over to death, facing death on a daily basis. And we can look at other passages in the New Testament, like 1 Corinthians chapter 4, where Paul says that we're poorly clothed, we're without food, we're without water, we're homeless. He says there in 1 Corinthians 4 that we're like the scum of the earth, the dregs of all things. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, a list there of all the hardships that Paul has gone through. And he says, I've been whipped times without number. I've been imprisoned. I've been shipwrecked. I've floated around in the ocean. I spent a night and a day in the deep. And despite all of this that Paul faced, despite all of these hardships and afflictions, he makes this amazing statement in verse 16 of our passage. Look at verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. How could he say that? After everything that he had been through, how could Paul say, no, we do not lose heart? How could he keep from getting discouraged? How could he keep from wanting to throw in the towel and give up in his life? What is it that Paul knew and understood, and what is it that we can learn from the Lord to help us through the times of life that we struggle and that we suffer? Because we do struggle and we do suffer and we do face afflictions, don't we? It may not be to the same degree as what Paul faced. It may not be the same kind of afflictions. But we face a lot of things in our lives too. How do you keep from losing heart? And some of you here today, some of you have gone through terrible trials. Some of you have suffered greatly. Some of you here presently are going through terrible trials and tribulations in your life. And the rest of us, we will go through those times. It's really a matter of when and not if we go through these trials. And so I want to focus in here in our passage and try to learn from the Lord. How can we not lose heart? How can we say it is well with my soul despite everything that might be going on around us? And so we'll look at four key principles, four things that we need to do to not lose heart. Look at verse 16 again. Therefore we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. The first thing that we must do to overcome our trials and to not lose heart is to focus on the inner man and not on the outer man. You see, most people in life, they focus on the outer. They focus on their health. They focus on their body. They focus on being young and holding on to their youth, being wrinkle-free. And people strive for that. People cling to that as if that's all there was in life is the outer. But Paul says the outer man is decaying. The outer man is not what's so important. You know, look at your body. Feel your hands and feel your arm. What is your body made of? It's made of the dust of the earth. And it's going to return to the dust of the earth. And our lives, James writes, our lives are like a vapor that appears for a little while. I think about when I was a kid and I would maybe on a cool winter day and you breathe on the inside of the window and this vapor appears and it just quickly fades away. That's what our lives are like. Our lives are like the flower of the field that is here today and it blooms and then the next day is gone and it's faded away. We need to understand that and realize that about our lives, about our outer man. And we face illness, we face sickness, we face struggles with our body. Our bodies can't do maybe what they used to do, and we face the ravages of old age. And if we're focused on the outer man through all of that, we're going to lose heart. Paul says, do not focus on the outer man. Our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. Inside is what is important. It's not that the body is without importance, but the inside of man is what is really important in our lives. There can be a renewal. There can be a transformation that takes place in the inner man. And so while our bodies may fail us, while we might face various illnesses, and that might cause us to grow discouraged, inside there can be a great renewal, a transformation, a renovation. Keep your place here, but look over at Ephesians chapter 4. I want to look just a little bit at this inner man. Look over at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. Paul writes here that he says, in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be, verse 23, that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. See, there can be a renewal that takes place. The renewal is not outward, though. The renewal takes place in the inner man. It takes place in the spirit of your mind. Look back at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. Actually, let's start in verse 14, Ephesians 3, 14. This is part of a prayer here that Paul prays for the Ephesian brethren. He says, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his spirit in the inner man. Do you see what can happen in the inner man? Paul says that you can be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man. Yes, my body may be failing. Yes, I may be struggling with sickness or cancer or whatever it may be. But don't focus on that. Focus on the inner man where God says, I can transform, I can renew you. My inner man can be glowing because it's in the presence of God. My inner man can be growing stronger and stronger every day because of this inner renewal that only God can provide. And this should help us. This should help us to not lose heart. So the first thing we must do is to focus on the inner man, not on the outer man. Come back to 2 Corinthians 4. Let's look again at verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. Another amazing statement that Paul makes. Momentary light affliction is what he calls his suffering. When you look at the sufferings of Paul, do you see it as momentary and light? I mean, we're talking about a man who had been stoned in Lystra, stoned so badly that they thought he was dead and they drug him out of the city. We're talking about a man, as we said earlier, that was shipwrecked and he spent a night and a day floating around in the ocean, cold, trying to stay afloat, not knowing if he was going to live or die. Talking about a man who's been beaten times without number, and yet he calls his afflictions momentary and light. How can Paul see his sufferings in that way? I submit to you that he could see them in this light because Paul had an eternal perspective on life. Yes, the sufferings were hard, but having an eternal perspective, in other words, looking at your trials and tribulations from the perspective of eternity, from the other side of eternity, can help us to overcome. What will our trials seem like? You know, when we've been there for 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, what will our trials and tribulations seem like then? Won't it be worth it then? Won't they seem momentary and light then, as difficult as they are now? And so the number two thing that we must do to not lose heart is to have an eternal perspective like Paul had. And the number three thing that we must do is also in verse 17. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. You see, we also have to understand, we have to understand that our trials and our afflictions, our sufferings, they're producing something for us. Our trials are producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. And notice that it's not just that the trials, that we can have this eternal glory in spite of the trials. Rather, he says the trials are producing something for us. The trials are producing this eternal weight of glory in our lives. How is that? I mean, how do these trials produce eternal riches for us? Look over at Romans chapter 5. Again, keep your place here. We'll be back. Look at Romans chapter 5. Paul understood the benefits. That's hard to say. It's hard to think about. Paul understood the benefits of suffering and affliction. So much so that he says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 3, and not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope. We exult, we rejoice in our tribulations. How could you say that I rejoice in the hard times in my life? How can we find any joy in that? It's because Paul knew that the suffering, it produces something in our lives. It produces perseverance, and perseverance leads to proven character, and proven character leads to hope. And so it's as if that as we go through these sufferings and trials that we're adding to this eternal weight of glory. Look over at 1 Peter chapter 1 that Don read for us earlier. 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter knew a lot about suffering too, didn't he? And the people that Peter is writing to were going through some very fiery, difficult times in their lives. And Peter writes in verse 6, 1 Peter 1, 6, "In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials." Oh, there can be great rejoicing in our trials. And he says, you're suffering for a little while, if necessary. Sometimes it's necessary for the people of God to go through suffering. Why is that? Because it builds for us eternal riches, this eternal weight of glory. Look at verse 7. "So that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Peter likens our sufferings to the refinement of gold. And you probably are aware that, you know, gold, when it's refined, how do they do that? Well, they take a fire and they heat the gold up. And as that gold is heated, the impurities in the gold, they float up to the top. And somebody can take and skim those impurities off. And they heat up the gold and the impurities continue to float to the top and they skim it off. And that's what our lives are like. As we go through trials, the fire that the trials cause are purifying and refining our faith. There was a story that was told, and I don't know who told it or where it came from, or I would give credit for it. There was a boy that was watching this process of gold being purified. And he's watching the man as he skims these impurities off, and he continues to heat up the fire, and he's skimming the impurities off. And the boy says, "Well, sir, how do you know when it's done? How do you know when this process is finished?" And the man said, "Well, when I can look into the gold and see my reflection, I know that it's ready." And I thought that was, you know, an interesting lesson for our lives, that as we go through the trials, as the fires, you know, are around us, and as things get so difficult, we're becoming more and more like our Heavenly Father. He's seeing His reflection in us as we go through these things. And so there are eternal riches that are produced from the trials. Notice that Peter writes there in verse 7 that these things may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. What a day it will be when Jesus returns and He says to us, "Well done, good and faithful servant." What a day it'll be when, as we see in Colossians chapter 3, that when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, we'll be revealed with Him in glory. Or as John writes in 1 John chapter 3, that is not yet appeared as what we will be, but we know that when He appears, when Jesus appears, we will be like Him because we will see Him just as He is. You see, the sufferings are producing an eternal weight of glory for us. Come back to 2 Corinthians and we'll look at the fourth thing and we'll close. Look at verse 17 again. "For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are unseen. For For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The fourth thing that we have to do to overcome and not lose heart in our trials is to stop looking at what we can see. We have to start looking at what we can't see. And this is really a good summary of everything that Paul has taught us here through the Holy Spirit. Stop looking at what you can see. Stop looking at the outer man. Stop looking at the sickness or the trials or the suffering that you're going through, and look at the inner man. Stop looking at what is temporal. Stop looking at the trials that are in front of you because they're so temporary. What is seen, he says in verse 17 or verse 18, the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. This is where we need to focus our mind and our heart. Look at what you can't see. Focus your mind on what is eternal. And may the Lord help us to have this mindset, to look at what we can't see, to take hold of His promises by faith, to find the power, the riches, the renewal and the renovation that is available to us, even in the worst moments of our lives. These things are available to us. And so I pray that this has been helpful to you. I pray that you will think of these things when you're going through trials. If there's someone here this morning who has not obeyed the gospel, we would be glad to study with you. We'd be glad to help you to grow your faith into Jesus Christ and to call Him your Lord and repent of your sins and to be baptized into His death for the forgiveness of sins. If there's someone here this morning who is struggling, someone who needs the prayers of the congregation, we'd be so glad to pray with you and for you.
We hope you have enjoyed this lesson from God's Word. If you would like to continue your study of New Testament Christianity, please send your name and address to World Bible School, West Huntsville Church of Christ, 1519 Old Monrovia Road Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. Or if you prefer, send your name and address by email to wbs@westhuntsville.org.